This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Enlarge!
Well, I got it.
Heaven!
Damn it.
I have a crush on every boy!
I'm a virgin.
Hillary Gump.
It's me.
This is so good. What is it doing?
Jack,
I'm a fan of
it!
Just chillin'.
Sicario.
Mickey Mouse just smacked the shit out of me!
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth!
Wow, dude!
Yes!
It was a G.I. Jane joke!
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth!
I'm going to, okay?
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun. That was two guys maybe in need of some Christian fun. That was We don't like getting into celebrity gossip, but that was of course a recap of the incident between Goofy and Mickey at the Disney Oscars when Goofy made a G.I. Jane joke about Minnie Mouse and her new hairdo.
Yeah.
It was ugly stuff. They are going to come to the red table.
There needs to be healing. I didn't like what Donald had to say about it after the fact. I think that was more offensive than anything.
Yeah, Donald, I think, quote, said, "Violence is the answer," which sucks. I don't agree with that. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music and the movies and the entertainment made for, made by, made about, made next to Christians, people of the faith. But we're not here to make fun of you. And we're not here to make you go to church. We're just here to have good Christian fun. Caroline, do you want to sort of acknowledge the elephant in the room right now with maybe you sound like a little far, far away from his light, far away from his glory. And that is with a capital H, yes.
Yeah, you only have good sound quality when you are close to God, when you're praying, when you wake up on your knees and you go to bed on your knees every day. Obviously, I've been neglecting my quiet time. I have been far from God. There's a wedge between us now. We also got some new technology that does not cause electrical fires. However, that did come with some other problems. So I'm recording, you know, on a subpar situation right now.
We got some new technology. We finally in 2022 received the new technology, and it was a little faulty, and it only could receive SD cards of a certain capacity and not above, which is unfortunate, but it's okay. And we're working through it. And there's lessons here, there's healing, there's refinement and fire, and we want to embrace that stuff. As is the Christian ethic that if you feel bad and something is painful, it's actually good.
It is. And it reminds me of that verse in Romans.
Which one? All of them?
I was just thinking about it. Yeah. But we're going to triumph today. We're going to carry on.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We're going to go ahead today and act like we know it. Act like we know what we're doing on the podcast and proceed as if that was true and talk about the music and the faith of LaShun Pace. And we're going to act like we know it with our guest, who we're going to introduce right the hell now. Friends and folks, you may know him from his podcast, The Flagrant Ones, or Gossip Kings, or on Grand Crew, streaming now, season 2 coming soon. Give it the hell up for Carl Tartt!
Hallelujah. This evening.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah this evening.
Yes. Hallelujah to you and also with you. Gracious. Carl, buddy, thanks so much for joining us on the show again.
Thank you for having me again.
I know.
I'm sorry about the I was the catalyst
for the bad sound. I am the devil in that situation.
No.
I wouldn't say so, sir. No.
Scheduling-wise, it was more convenient for me to get on the Zoom today. We could have all been in the house.
You never know what dominoes are going to set off when you make choices that are selfish. And this is one of those that happened today. But I'm glad that you're going to be learning something today, Carl.
I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm going to be there.
You're changing. I mean, this is actually, I appreciate the sense of responsibility you have. And I do, because my instinct, of course, is to say, no, Carl, it's not your fault. It's just a tech issue. But I would like to place it squarely at your feet. And I would like to say this is on you, the same way that our last episode with Sean Diston, when Caroline's recorder literally caught fire and exploded in the middle of the episode, it was Sean's fault because he wanted to be on Zoom.
Yeah. Too hot.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. So apology accepted. Thank you for owning up to it like a man of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And a man of character and upstanding integrity. Now, we haven't had you on the show in 3 years. It's been
that long.
It's been 2019.
Huge. That's years.
Right. Have mercy.
Wow.
Because it was in person. We played a nice game called Wow or Now, in which we try to identify Christian songs versus secular songs. Last time you were on the show.
Yeah. And I do believe we started COVID that night.
I think so. Yeah. Let me check the date. That was March 2019. So it was probably, a little.
We sent it over to China at that point.
I'd like to think so.
I did take a quick trip to China right after that, but I don't think it was related.
And you were feeling a little sneezy.
I was feeling a little, I wasn't feeling good.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what was your last international trip before COVID for real, Caroline?
I think it was going to Ireland and London.
It was Ireland where you were crying?
What about you, Kevin?
I took none, obviously. So Carl,
I was crying in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I have not traveled internationally until a few weeks ago. I finally
Where'd you go?
I got out of the States to go to London for about a week. It was really nice. And it was an enjoyable trip. It was fruitful. It was good. Saw people, saw things I'd never seen before. But it was mostly to get Caroline off my nuts. Because it is something, for some reason, that's been a source of ridicule and shame in our relationship that I've not traveled outside the continent of the United States.
The ultimate American boy.
Well, let me ask you this, Caroline.
Yeah?
How many states have you gone to?
States.
Oh, great cue. I would guess I've been to like maybe 15 states.
15 states.
15? Yeah. That's it?
I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I think that's about it, though.
Maybe you should be a patriot and see the rest of your country.
Okay. Now, Carl, before you have people, a good reverse angle from which to examine this from.
So it's not that we should be exploring different cultures, learning new things. We need to stop farming out.
Yes.
Our growth and find it here in American soil, because there's so much to discover here.
You don't even know how your fellow countrymen live in certain places.
That's true.
And I would argue that, Caroline, states outside of California are different cultures. If you've been if you've been to Texas, if you've been to Iowa, if you've been to Illinois, that's a different culture than California.
You know, when I was in Europe, everybody would say, "Are you American?" I've been to Miami. And I would go, "I haven't." How have you not been to Miami?
That is crazy.
It's in your country. Have you not been? I say, I haven't. We don't just drive to Miami.
No.
Yeah.
Right?
It takes
a lot.
I know. This is like when I misjudged the distance of how far things away are in Canada. And I made my initial flight into Toronto. And then I made my outgoing flight. What I found out that morning was an hour and a half Uber drive away.
Oh my God.
From my Airbnb. I did pay the price for that, unfortunately, because I thought it was like, oh, it's all British Columbia. It's fine. Whatever. That was not the case.
Yeah.
So, no good. So, trying to eliminate different things. As I told Caroline before on my, when I did get over to London, I did stumble into a conservative Christian coffee house on accident with literature on the shelves.
Day one.
Anti-gay literature about same-sex attraction and how to battle it with the help of the Lord.
Kevin,
it's not my intention to support them, but I did because I didn't see the books until after I paid for the worst iced Americano I've ever had in my life. I have to offset it by going to a very gay coffee shop pretty soon. I don't know where, though.
And you could do it right here like a real patriot.
Yeah, I could.
In your home country. You know, I've spent a lot of time in Europe. I've seen a lot of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen – there are places that I haven't gone that I would like to travel eventually. The Africas.
Sure.
The one Africa. The South Americas. Some places over there.
Yeah.
But you know, I got to be honest. I was there for a year, and I got to see a lot of it.
You were living in Europe for a year?
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw
like a study abroad situation?
I saw London. I saw France. I saw both your underpants.
Oh,
and
wow.
I
haven't even seen that.
I don't look down there anymore. Oh, gracious.
No, I was performing at this comedy theater in Amsterdam. And
what, that was Boom?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a hot take. Probably gonna get killed for this.
Killed.
But I've seen it. Like once you see it, you've seen it. It's a lot of the same old
wow.
over there.
You don't want to be.
You're
back.
Saying not worth seeing. Period.
I don't need to go back. I don't need to go back. I don't, unless I'm going back to like. Okay. Also, I'm an African American gentleman, so I should probably see like where I'm from in Africa before I go and
going back
and
to the
see
colonizer central.
Yeah, different cities, and I just was like, okay, we drove all through. I drove from the top to the bottom. Well, I flew through most of England, but mm-hmm. I drove through a lot of it too. It all looks the damn same.
Yeah.
It's just hills and cottages and things like that. It's like, ooh, this is nice. You can see that same shit right over here. You go to Iowa, you see all the hills and cottages you want to. Like, it's probably a little flat in Iowa.
Iowa, but, the hills and cottage capital of the
Central
United States.
If you drive through, like, Oregon, you can see that.
That's
you can see,
I agree
it
with
looks
that.
The same.
Yeah.
Hmm.
People want to go see the Swiss Alps, but they ain't never seen the Colorado Rockies. Just this magnifique.
Wow.
I get that. Yeah, okay. No, this is good. This is good ammo for me. Caroline, I think I've been to at least 25 states, so that is different for me now.
Well,
the power dynamic is changing.
You got to tour a lot.
I did.
Lived it. You know, I'm trying. But I just can't believe that I'm on a podcast with two gentlemen, you know, resourced gentlemen who are being like, traveling abroad? Nah, what is it? That's all it's cracked up to be. No. Just stay home. I do think there is probably a lot more to discover in America than you think, but it's just such a slog to get there. And then there isn't always like a lot of at least recorded history in what area you ever may be in. Like so many of the buildings are just brand new. And that's something I like about getting abroad.
Is the oldness of
the
buildings.
To look at an old building?
Yeah.
Old stuff. Yeah. See, it's old and be like, well, still here.
Now, Carl, would the proposition of traveling with a partner, a significant other, change the calculus for you about your interest in returning to some of those places and going somewhere like Italy and whatnot?
No.
All right.
Depends on where we're going. I didn't get to see much of Italy when I was there. And I would like to eat Italian food. I could also just go to Little Italy in New York.
Oh my God.
Carl's gonna go to Epcot instead of go to the United Kingdom.
Oh my gosh,
again.
I can't believe this.
I really am over the United Kingdom stuff. I there's no reason for me to go back over there. I've seen it.
I get that. I feel like there's only so much like once you've seen all the charm of a certain country, it's kind of hard to like keep rediscovering it and the enjoyment of it.
Yeah,
and I think that especially cities are just they start to all kind of blend after a little bit. But getting into like the nature or the like pristine areas of parks and things like that of different countries, that I feel like you could probably revisit again and again and still find it pretty exciting.
Maybe. You know, I have no interest in seeing, I tell you, one place, like going back to the Netherlands, I'm just like, I'm out.
No,
if I don't have to go for like some work or something, I'm out.
I mean,
there's no reason for me to go back. I didn't enjoy it at all. And I didn't like the people, and I didn't like y'all. Have y'all been watching the season of Atlanta?
Yes.
Not yet. I've been saving it.
Yeah. So they spent some time over there, and they have some experiences in Amsterdam. And a lot of it is, you know, a little bit heightened. But for the most part, when you look like me or Paperboy, kind of accurate.
Mm-hmm. And people are weird.
I'm just like, okay, I've seen it. I've gotten the culture that everybody is like, you have to travel. And they don't even see, like, I go to places in America. We go on tour. I went to Boston for the first time last week. And I don't like Boston. But when I was there, I was happy I got to see it. And you see a lot of historical stuff. You see Bunker Hill, Fenway Park.
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Okay, Carl, then what's the place you could go back to over and over that you think is like, this is a great place to be, to visit?
I tell you, my favorite city in the world, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh.
Wow. Ooh, a place I've not been, unfortunately.
I haven't been there either yet. I want to.
But after watching The Princess and the Frog, I was like, yeah, I need to go here. Definitely.
My favorite city in the world.
Okay.
Disney adult.
My only point is this. Yes, we are a younger country. Mm-hmm. Yes, you should do your research on the whole world and learn about how the world started, customs and cultures and everything, all that stuff. And if you want to take it the extra step from reading and watching, go see it. But a lot of people don't even know the culture of this country before they start like being like, oh, I just got to get out of America. America sucks. But guess what? So does everywhere else.
Mm. Oh, wow. A true cynic. Oh, how
the world sucks. The world sucks, folks. You want to leave this place?
What are
go
we
to
living
heaven.
For? What are we going after?
We
then?
Need to go to heaven. Is that
go
what
to
you
heaven.
Said,
go
we
to
have
hell.
To die and go to heaven. Yeah. Okay, now you share the sort of evangelical cultural death wish that many of our compatriots
yes.
do. So that is interesting. I mean, actually, I know you don't identify as Christian very much, but there is a lot of overlap with your worldview in terms of a general xenophobia and distaste for other parts of the world other than the USA.
It's not xenophobia for me. That was towards me.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. And then an emphasis on patriotism as well as a death wish to die and go to heaven ASAP. These things and more make you a brother in Christ. Now, when we've had people on back on the show that we haven't talked to in a few years, maybe people identify as Christian or had some sort of like spirituality or religion or faith, and then it's gone through a change or a shift. It certainly has for us since we started hosting the show. For you, even just like in the sense of a holistic worldview, an ideology, do you feel like you've had any shift or change in the way that you think about the world, about being alive, about people, about friendships, even in the last 3 years with, you know, all of this pandemic and COVID included?
I haven't had such a huge change, but every day I log into a social media app, my faith in humanity drops a notch.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, people are awful online, man. You know this.
Do you have an example recently?
The hate messages I got over basketball posts on Instagram.
Oh, no.
And
well, yeah.
Just people just being like, why you care so much? It's basketball. Yeah, maybe I'm trolling, but I'm not talking to you. I don't know you're here. I don't know you exist. But,
and you look at that and you think there is no God.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at comment sections on Instagram.
Yeah, no,
these are real breathing people. You can write them off as trolls, you can write them off as these people. Yeah, but you really can't write them off. You really look at it and go, these are real breathing living beings that are acting this way. And then you see we had a shooting this weekend that was completely and utterly just racially motivated. We had another one that was racially and politically motivated in Orange County yesterday. It just makes you go like, man, like, I think the thing is, the devil, I believe, is social media.
Wow.
Now, this is interesting.
Say more.
Like, I think that, like, it is perpetuating evil. Like, yeah. And the evil is coming from, and it's going to sound like... like I'm another hot take. I don't believe we as humans were built to ingest and give out this many opinions.
I think that's almost like biologically evident at this point.
Yeah.
I think that is true. The unprecedented stimuli. It's not like the printing press. It's not like the radio. It is utterly changing the shape of our minds in a literal way. That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the devil.
All right. Now, did you guys watch Severance? I know you did, Caroline.
I don't watch it, no.
There was that quote from the first episode in which Patricia Heaton's character, not Patricia Heaton, Jesus.
Patricia Heaton.
Patricia Arquette.
Vote for Trump.
She said, I'm pro-life. I'm going to sever ties.
Is that the mom from Home Improvement?
No, that's Patricia Clarkson. Patricia Heaton is the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, yeah. She started tripping.
That's right. Yeah. Well, she was already. Back to you. There was a sitcom on Fox for a hot second in the mid aughts, starring her and Kelsey Grammer, which must have been like the most inclusive, progressive set that a crew member could possibly work on. But the quote from the beginning of Severance was, Patricia Arquette's character, who's sort of an antagonistic force in the show, says, "My father used to say, hell isn't real, but it doesn't matter because hell is whatever people can imagine they can make real." And that definitely feels a little bit true, at least of social media, where it's like, you know, the personification of the devil as Denzel Washington, who seems to think about the devil every day and every night. when he's like, the devil's going to come for you this time, Will Smith. The devil did this. The devil did that. He seems to have the devil on his speed dial in some ways. But yeah, the idea that the worst impulses could be personified in a force like internet discourse and even certainly things like the sort of attitudes and conspiracy theories that animate mass murder and then also just like rudeness about the NBA opinions.
It's simple as that.
Yeah.
But when you see it, when you see people just fire off such insulting and mean and hateful things so easily over something so dumb and trivial, you just go, this is not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's past the point. Sometimes I think about too, like how, you know, kind of pre-internet, there was just like huge slices of people you would never see, like, you know, the kind of people who don't leave home very often or aren't like super involved in any communities or don't work somewhere or whatever. Yeah. Like there's just enormous swaths of population that before we never interacted with, you know. Yeah. And like you do interact with them. Like I think of when you encounter people like at work, you never would have ever come across in your life roommates or like church was a big one where you just meet like some people you're like, huh, where are you from? Like, how did you become like this? You know? But the internet has now cracked open a door, you know, for a lot of people that like otherwise you probably wouldn't have engaged with in your life ever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of us wouldn't have.
Let me ask y'all this.
Yeah. Let me ask y'all this. Did y'all ever, When everybody was still on Facebook, I've deleted since. I'm sure. Have y'all? Y'all still look at Facebook?
I have not. No, I'm a part of a few mommy groups. I need to stay connected to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm definitely off. Have been since. I think right after the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm.
But I have back then, especially during that time, you would see people who you knew in person and respected and liked. Just like saying the craziest things.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to say that I never put out no crazy opinions. Some people may think I'm crazy for being like, I don't like Europe. I don't think you have to go. Mm-hmm. That's also an opinion that I will say because I was prompted to say it on here, but I'm not going to just wake up in the morning and be like, good morning, Facebook family. Here are my takes on Europe. No, that's something that I hold to myself. And if somebody asks me,
it's part of a conversation.
My
yes,
experience is part of a conversation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people wake up in the morning and go, hot take. Hot dogs are stupid. And if you eat them, you stupid too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
okay, well, I stand by that. I thought that was kind of interesting. Caroline, and there was a conversation
when I expressed
that started after
support
that.
For that in the comment section of your post. Yeah. I hope you did see that and you felt
I did.
Seen.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. You were one of the few.
Yeah. But then you like made it pretentious because you were like, if you want a real hot dog, go to Europe.
Go
it's
to
called
Europe.
A sausage.
Yeah,
and
sausage. Where's Kush? Heard of it?
It's called a,
Gracious.
It's called the Verst. It's called the Verst. I don't eat American hot dogs. I only eat
disgusting.
Verst. Wait, what was the question? You were going to ask us something.
Oh, yeah.
Have y'all seen, are there any people who you're like, man, I liked you in person, and when I see the way you act online, it is changing the way I feel about you?
Of course, yeah. And this is why, and I've gone through my little arcs with it now, but now unfollowing, following, or muting people, I think both ways should not be taken personally. Sometimes it is for the preservation of the relationship that you would not follow someone online. And there's certainly people with whom I've muted just because.
We're going to have to hear from the muted and the blocked in Kevin's life on their side of the story and how that worked for them. Working great for Kev.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of this sort of separating the wheat from the chaff did happen before the mute function was widespread on social media. And that did save a lot of relationships, I do believe. But yes, of course, there's been people I've had to disengage with on there. Or what's sadder is that, speaking to your question, Carl, that the output on that has led me to need to disengage with them in actual real life relationship and conversation, which stinks.
And that sucks when it's like a person has been nothing but kind to you. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, Carl? I just bought you these cupcakes. No, I'm good. Man, he's acting weird. You know, maybe it's because you went on this crazy diet drive online.
Like, about replacement theory. Yeah, I mean, could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, it's one of those things that, we will continue to have to steward well and be mindful of, like, who we let into that particular bubble. And so, I mean, but there's now all these features for the ability to curate your experience online, to limit comments, to limit who can reply to a story or something. Do you employ any of those in your own social
Sometimes
media?
I do. Okay. I did today. I made a post, and then, but I also sometimes I go, if I have to do this, that means this probably might be something I shouldn't be saying. But today's post was about basketball, and I turned it off just because I didn't want to hear from pod fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I left on, if I follow you, you can reply. Because I'd rather have a discourse with a person that I know than one with a stranger who's probably going to feel more inclined to say something rude to me. And I just was like, I don't want to have to delete or block or anything like that. But I do block. I block for petty reasons too. if I'm in a bad mood and you have said something to me, you could just be quoting one of my bits online. And I was like, I don't want to hear that right now.
Honk toot, blocked.
Blocked. Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
blocked.
Why not? You know, again, just sort of limit scaling things down a little bit.
And somebody
especially
was like,
a stranger.
And somebody was like, well, don't you care about your fans? I said, I love my fans. I thank you every day. I wake up every morning and thank my fans for supporting me on this journey, for being there for me, for enjoying my work, for ingesting my work.
Absolutely.
But if I'm talking about something that I don't want to reply from honk toot, like literally they'll be like, you know, Doughboys, Mitch and Weiger. And, you know, when people know you from one thing, they can't like take you out of that world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll post, Grand Crew just got picked up for a season 2. And then somebody will respond, well, how are you going to go on tour with Mitch and Weiger? Because it isn't like, first of all, that's already worked out. I get my bread in every single way. Secondly, they're not included in this.
Right. That's just a part of my life.
Yeah.
It's
people
so funny.
Don't know the full Carl, and when they take you piecemeal and put you in a box, that can be annoying, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, I know it's just people just trying to be kind of funny or whatever, I guess, but they never are.
Making jokes.
And, you know, it could be anything. If I ask, hey, who knows a good mechanic in Silver Lake? I don't know, Gumshoe, Toot Beep Honk, O.J. Simpson. It's like, get what?
But
I'm a real person who needs his car fixed.
Yes. And sometimes that can be not dehumanizing in the way that a lot of people experiencing it, but dehumanizing in a very subtle, slight way, which is why we're so happy to announce, because you love your fans so much that you're starting a page only for them.
Starting OnlyFans.
That's right.
If you pay $100 a month,
you can say honk toot.
You can say honk toot to me all day long. And I'll be forced. I will like the comment. I like it.
I'm so sorry, like, but what is the honk toot from?
Thank you for not knowing what it is.
Yeah, okay. It's great.
I actually it's don't, great. But maybe I don't want to because I don't want this to chase you even further.
No, it's fine. It's a character that it's a musical bit that me and Drew do on Comedy Bang Bang and
okay.
have done live and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. I saw you do this at Paul F. Tompkins' show.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what that is.
And it's fun. Like, I love it. It's so much fun to do that. It's so much fun to perform with Drew. But like, hey, when it's over, it's over.
Right. It's not an inside joke we all have now.
No.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough to leave it on the field. But for
I
the
think that's such a funny one to dog you every day.
Because it's such nonsense. Because it's the silliest, stupidest thing you could possibly imagine.
I don't think they know that they are. Not all of them. I don't think they know. Like, some of them I can see that they're genuinely just trying to connect with me and just, like, being appreciative of my work. And some people are doing it because I'll get on shows like this and say, I don't like that. And I'll sort of go,
right,
they'll
like to anyway. Rally you up. Uh-huh.
And then I'll block them. And then they put in their bio, blocked by Jamico.
Yeah.
That's why we are going to ask our any listener who listens to this, don't comment with the quote. Don't add Carl with any of his old previous work. If you say anything to him, and maybe you won't at all, and that's great too. Say, Carl, you are valued and you are loved. That's all you
need. Don't say that either. Don't say anything to me.
You say,
don't
Carl,
talk to me.
I love
Honor
you
Carl
on a personal
silence.
Level. Have a moment of silence for Carl. Tom.
Kevin, no. Direct all those messages to Kevin and he will forward them to me. Flood his DM.
I'll filter
your love for me.
Yeah,
I'll filter the maybe some of the ones that you would want.
He'll put it in a Google Doc.
for the NBA stuff, we've talked so much on the show before about how different communities of fandom, this is almost like a cold take now, are like ideologically and sociologically, they do mirror what happens in religious fanaticism in the way that grown people are very mad and upset about things that happen in a Star Wars movie for children. That can be a mirror of, like, theologically, there's this debate over transubstantiation and whether the body of Christ, blah, 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 and kind of nonsense. For the NBA, does that sort of, like, zealotry exist in that even you've experienced it in doing some of the stuff that you've done and getting those comments from people?
100%. 100%. Everybody wants you to, when you host a basketball podcast, everybody wants you to talk positively about their team. But there's a couple things. A, I'm not being employed by the NBA, so I can say whatever the fuck I want about whatever team. That's number one. Number two, I don't like every team, so I'm mm-hmm. not about to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, people take things personally when you, and I'm guilty of this as well. I can't sit here on a high horse. I'm guilty of it too. Somebody says, people say bad shit about the Clippers all the time. Mm-hmm. It's constant. It's a constant barrage. Am I constant barrage?
Right, you got that. That's
yeah,
right.
Of negative things said about the Clippers. So I take that all day. And sometimes it does feel like they saying it to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and so I get that. With that being said, it's stupid. It's all dumb. And it's all fake. It's all entertainment.
It's a game.
Like, it's a game. It's a dumb game. And yeah, that type of, like, people, like, identify with their teams very hardcore. And so when you identify with something that bad, when it becomes your identity, when you put it in your Instagram bio,
woo,
you are for sure going to be offended when people say things that you don't want to hear.
Husband, you know, father, Celtics fan?
Yes. Yes. Husband, father, dog lover.
Clippers mom.
Celtics fan. Yeah. So when you see that, and you hit that, and that person likes your show, and you say, I want the Celtics to lose the championship. That person is saying, so you want my children to not eat?
Right.
Yeah, this is about
you
want
to take away my livelihood?
That's right.
Yeah.
Carl, do you think you've ever been guilty of fanaticism
100%.
For a team and lashed out?
Yeah.
Wow. So you can relate to this.
I can relate a little bit, but you have to change that. I relate it because people when you root for the Clippers, like, a lot of the stuff that people do say to you, especially living in Los Angeles, where it's such a heavily dominated Lakers town, some of the stuff that people say to you is personal. They can talk crap about the Clippers all day. And they're like, man, see, this is what I hate about Clippers fans. Now, this I do hate rude. Some fan bases, too, for different reasons, racism being the main one.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like that's an easy... And, of course, those fans of those teams go, we're not racist. I mean, historically, you're kind of racist.
Yes.
Let's be real. Well, I'm not racist. I just like that team because I'm from that city. Fair enough.
But you're on notice.
But when you attack me, a stranger, about it, I'm going to assume you're racist.
I think that's only fair.
Yeah.
Now, I went to a Clippers game pretty recently, and I'm curious from your perspective what the energy of a Clippers game versus a Lakers game is like, because I've never been to a Lakers game.
I have a great time at Clippers games. I have such a fun time. It's definitely different than what it used to be before the change in ownership. It's still not as like the Laker game atmosphere is like, you know, it's Hollywood. It's going to the club. It's like it's big and bold, and Clippers is just like going to a basketball game.
Yeah. Like, I need to go to a Lakers game is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, go to a Lakers game.
I need more glamour.
Check it out. Go watch the moves in Under Darkness, like under the flashiest lights and all the celebrities. You can watch them lose with next to Denzel Washington and Jack Nicholson.
A Lakers game is like going to Soho House, and Clippers is like seeing a pickup game at the YMCA.
Going to the Waffle House.
Going to Waffle House.
Waffle House, gracious.
But Waffle House is where the people are.
From Soho House to Waffle House. Oh, man.
Waffle House is where the people are. Waffle House is where the people are.
You got a Waffle House phone case?
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh. You're like all merched out today.
Yeah.
Well, I dress like this normally.
Like a walking billboard. Well, thanks for catching us up, Carl, on everything the last few years. I think we can see the difference. There's just a different glow you have.
Yeah.
The pandemic has changed you in all these ways.
It's refined things. As we close out, can we ask, are there any teams we can be praying for that our audience can be lifting up?
I mean, boy, it's tough now. Keep the Miami Heat in prayer.
Okay,
because that's the only team I want to see win right now.
Okay,
every other team I do not want to see win.
Father,
so keep the Miami Heat. Lift the Miami Heat in prayer.
The Lord listens to this podcast, so that's going to get straight to the top.
Lord, you know the number of hairs on their head. You know the number of points they will score, and we lift up each and every one of those tall kings to you.
Yes,
in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's
singles ministry in which we take one single song from the Christian space and talk about it for the entirety of the second half. Carl, I was asking you about gospel music that you may or may not have listened to. You gave a few songs. This was one of them. But I know we talked to you about your upbringing before. But yeah, what was your exposure generally to the gospel part of music that you listened to?
Well, we talked about last time. I grew up in Methodist and Baptist church, and I think in a lot of people who don't go to church and just like, you know, black households can probably relate. It's like on Sunday morning when it's time to clean up, you listen to gospel music. I think that was like a lot of time that was like how like parents who didn't feel like going to church, like didn't like, you know, feel bad for not going. Like,
oh, so this is like replacement church, you know, it's like, well, we got that is in the household, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the household. We listen to gospel music very loud on Sunday morning, and you got to get up and clean up. And, you know, there are also sermons that come on Sundays on the radio and stuff. So you hear that and you hear the gospel music and things like that. And then, you know, you got certain aunties that are super in the church that drive around listening to gospel music and things. So you just kind of hear these songs that become like standards when you're growing up and you just know them.
Yeah, no, it almost becomes like what oldies were for a lot of people too. Just in the sense of like, yeah, this is what it is and this is our culture in a way. So some of the music we were talking about included a song by LaShawn Pace, who came from a lineage and a family of gospel singers. She came from Atlanta, Georgia. She recently passed away a few months ago.
Yeah, she passed away in like April, I think.
Yeah, I think.
March? Yeah.
Back in March. Not old. She was 60 years old. She died of organ failure. She had been on dialysis for a little bit. But she kind of experienced in the last couple of months a bit of a revival from this song in particular on TikTok, which we'll get to. But
yeah,
she came from Atlanta. She was part of a group called the Anointed Pace Sisters, which included all of her siblings, and they had a bunch of records. They were on the Billboard gospel charts, etc. You know, coming at you with hits like 24/7. That was one of them. What were some of the other ones? The Anointed Pace Sisters had songs like "When God Is in the Building," "Be a Fence," "All in Christ," "You Know," "You Hyphen Know," and then there's this song, which is "Act Like You Know It." Act Like You Know It, which I'll do a screen share of this so we can all get the full kind of experience of watching it.
It's really perfect.
One of the comments in the YouTube video for this is going to black church is also going to a free concert. This must be 1996. Yes.
Like in the 90s, like it was like, that's LaShawn. And that's Karen Clark Sheard.
Okay.
Singing with the Pace Sisters. Of the Anointed Clark Sisters.
Yes.
Clark Sisters.
They also don't know this song. Like,
they're reading it in the video. They're reading it off of their music stands.
Yeah, but this is only 30% of the video.
Yeah.
The other 70% of the video is all improvised.
It's just riffs, yeah.
Yeah.
It's this.
Act like you know.
that vest and button down look like still looks really good.
Like the 90s browns and tans. Yeah.
the vest and the mock neck shirt. It's just great.
I always think of Kirk Franklin because he posed in those outfits so much.
Oh, he was big in those 90s, yeah. That's how I used to dress on Easter when I was a kid.
Yeah, we're 3 minutes of a 6 minute 25.
Crazy. Wait, keep going.
Just kidding.
Not done yet.
Yeah, this ain't over.
The towel off.
Goes on, and then you think it's done, and then just kidding.
Oh, you missed the you missed the TikTok part.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
That's the young pay system.
Oh, okay. Pushes her off.
Duranis is another one of the sisters who passed away last year.
Wow, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. And we do love any time when the improv or the riff is instructional. Mm.
Wow.
This is the most we've just kind of like...
That's a woman drummer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is the most we've kind of just like sat and listened to a song rather than say anything goofy over it.
Just trying to end it as soon as Lincoln.
Yeah, because it's just a little
more
enjoyable than a lot of the
fair. And after that, their mom comes up and sings.
Yes.
Their mom? Oh my God. That's so cool. Like
all a family affair.
How do you get to that place? Like, do you usually, for these kinds of soloists, like start in the choir and then someone notices that your riff was pretty good and then you get a little chance to sing alone? Like,
oh, I think that starts when you're like really young. People can tell. They call you anointed.
Oh,
they say, oh, he is anointed. He is blessed. Like, or she is blessed. Like, they know you can sing when you're like 3, 4, 5 years old.
So it's like gymnastics in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, they know you can sing. Have you ever seen The Anointed Boy?
Ballet.
You ever see that video?
The Anointed Boy. No, we can pull it up.
Yeah.
The Anointed Boy? Boy?
So then from there, you're just like in singing mode for your entire adulthood.
That's is this so what you're talking about, Carl?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen this. Yes.
Is this just literally just that, a lot of that?
Wow.
But he's, you know, a little kid. Like, so in church, like, kids like that, you just find them. We all have youth choir, too. We all But then, you know, there's always that one kid who just is like, singing is such an interesting thing because, like, you could truly just be gifted from birth to be able to have a voice like that.
Right.
Like, and it's crazy like that everybody can't do it, you know? Like, some people can't hear notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's a gap you can build with like training a little bit. Like there's a lot you can learn, but yeah, there are just some people that like the tune will never come to them.
Yeah.
This is interesting, the anointing you're talking about. And, like, I think this is a big probably cultural difference in, like, a lot of the white churches I went to. Like, you were talented, and, like, if you wanted to sing or whatever, like, you could get into it. But using the term anointed, it's, like, a separate spiritual gift, like, just being able to sing this well, which makes sense because literally it gives me chills to hear people sing like this. And like, it is almost, it feels like a superhuman talent. And when singing is such a big part of the service in that way.
Yeah.
Would you say it carries the same weight as like being anointed to be a pastor or being anointed to like be a missionary or something like that?
I don't know if it carries the same weight as that. Maybe in certain circles, but I think that like when you're like anointed as a kid who can like sing like that, or like a kid who naturally, there's also kids who like naturally pick up instruments. They can play by ear at a really young age. And when nobody has taught them how to play the instrument, they can just like sit on it and like play it.
Right.
I think that's different because it can turn into a different career path.
Yeah.
So like, I'm pretty sure that a lot of the kids that were anointed in church when they were younger became R&B singers that we know and love.
Totally.
Who've never had any vocal training or anything like that. And they were like these kids who could like really sing in church. I know Charlie Wilson talks about that a lot.
Mm.
He says like, and he's got one of the most distinctive and well-respected voices in R&B over the years and music period. Still doing hooks to this day. He's almost 70 years old. Still doing like hooks on like hip-hop songs at 70. And not seen as like the old man either. Like they call him Uncle Charlie, but like, he's still, like, respected amongst the young people, you know?
Yeah.
But he talks about, like, he was like, I started singing in church when I was 3. And back then, people could tell. He comes from a musical household, too. His mom sang, all of his brothers and sisters sang and stuff like that. But, like, I think it's different than preaching. Because when you are anointed with preaching, which I've seen before, too, good and bad. Y'all remember the kid that was on, like, Donahue? In the 90s, there?
No.
Was
like,
he was like this, like.
On Donna, yeah.
Let's yeah, he was.
Oh,
it was
yes,
like bad, though.
Yes.
He was like a crazy kid.
Okay.
Like, it was like,
I remember this.
Everybody's going to hell.
Even just via meme, I remember this, yes.
Oh, yeah, no. Like these kids are just regurgitating Bible verses. I want to know if you really understand what it is that you are.
It was on Oprah.
Preaching.
Oprah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, there's a verse. There's a verse. You want him to
preach? Let him talk.
Let him preach.
He does this like a little twin of his dad.
Go ahead.
Jeffy, do you want to preach?
If you want to. If you don't want to,
the audience shouldn't be able to intimidate you into this. If you want to do it, it's up to you.
Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation of him.
The audience is like blank face.
And that,
he's just chef.
That boy became a blogger for Ben Shapiro's website, The Daily Wire.
Is that for real? Because
no,
I believe
I believe it too. But I mean, probably. We'll see. We'll
it's sad because like, he's so cute when his face is just resting. I know. You know, just being a little child.
I love whisper preaching. How about some soft listening preaching? That would be nice.
Mumble preach.
As a little change of pace. This song that we just listened to, Act Like You Know, which, by the way, is not even her most streamed song on Spotify, which I was kind of surprised to see. Her most streamed song on Spotify is a song called There's a Leak in This Old Building.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that today. It's really good.
Yeah. It's all really good.
It's a leak in this old building.
Act Like You Know It. Carl, how did this song enter your life? Was this just one of the songs that was just playing on the radio when you were a kid?
Yeah, it was on the radio when I was a kid. It was on gospel radio and stuff. And then once it came back to be like this TikTok thing that people would use over and over again, I was like, man, where do I know that from? I remember that. I remember that from like, and then I found the video of it.
This also goes to show the disparateness of people's different algorithms and their FYP page, how some stuff that may feel like it's for you will never reach across your plate just because of the way algorithmically it's set up. Because this is, I think it's fair to say this is like Black TikTok, like the Act Like You Know It memes. I didn't see any in that video that were white. at all. Yeah. Anyone doing it. There was no one. I don't believe. Yeah. No, there was like zero people. And in the way that the TikTok would work is that there's, you know, some sort of caption like when she finishes retwisting your hair and asks how you would like to pay. Things like that. Like a lot of hair jokes, actually.
Yeah.
And it's just people lip syncing and dancing along to that part of the song.
I've seen one white one. And that's from this girl I follow on Instagram for naughty reasons. And I was like, of course you'd see this.
Yeah. So just a lot of that. And it's so funny. I mean, we've talked before about how much TikTok can flatten people's access to music. There was a tipping point. There was this article at The Atlantic a couple of months ago about how like catalog music, which is to say music from before, like basically music from the 20th century, pre-2000, now outpaces listening than music post, which now, so it's all the same thing for people, which before it was like, oh, people would listen to new stuff more, or at least as much as the newer, as the old stuff. But now it's just
weird,
totally flipped and flattened. And I think TikTok is a big part of that because the memification of things. You know, like, how many people listen to More Than a Woman and got into the Bee Gees because of TikTok? Like, it's probably incalculable. Yeah.
I also think sometimes, like, it... Sometimes, now, y'all probably have gone through this too, where TikTok will make me hate a song that I like.
Yeah, yeah, that can happen too.
Because it'll be like, change, like, now I gotta hear it over and over again, this one little part. And also, TikTok will introduce me to songs that I'm like, oh, I never heard that. That's kind
of
cool.
What's an example of a song that you started hating because of the overexposure?
Oh, let me think. Not maybe not hate, but like maybe like I skip it when it comes on the radio now or something like that. Let me think. There was a Pop Smoke song that he came out with that I liked for a while, but it got overused on TikTok, and I was like, every time it came on, I was like, I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple songs, newer stuff, not much old stuff, but like definitely newer things that I'll be like, if it comes on my Rap Caviar podcast playlist or something, I'm like, I'm gonna change this one. Right. TikTok song.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, I feel bad for artists. Make it funny, you know, when it wasn't like originally part of the song, it gets hard to like listen sincerely to that song again.
Yeah, yeah. I feel bad for the artists that are like known for like TikTok songs now. That was just trying to put out their work.
You think they're sad?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's hard to transcend. I mean, obviously, like, we all know that they're literally structuring the songs and making them short or long enough to fit within the time constraints of TikTok. But people can... I feel like Doja Cat is someone who blew up a lot on TikTok, but has definitely transcended it. And then even via her own TikTok stuff, has transcended anything that would feel maybe confining about being like the 15-second thing of Say So or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
For the lyrics for this song, it's pretty straight across the plate, workmanlike celebration lyrics. When the enemy comes in to destroy your life and peace of mind, remember you're more than a conqueror, and this is why I want you to know. You gotta act like you know that what God said is true. When you have no hope and no one to turn to, remember the Lord will see you through because his word is true. So it's all just like celebratory. It's all just, hey, act like you know it. And if you did, wouldn't you be happier? Wouldn't you be having more fun and more joy than you have right now?
Yeah. Act like you know is a turn of phrase in our culture. It's like, act like you know it. Like,
is that true?
God, it's good today. Act like you know
it. It's more of a colloquialism, like, you think?
And, yeah.
Okay. That's so interesting. Oh, wow.
I am both Kevin and I'm like, whoa,
how interesting. Jesus. Oh, gosh. But yes, a very joyful performance. I do recommend people watch the YouTube video rather than listen to the version from the 96 album, because it's like half as long. And even though it's a lot of the same stuff, it's not as fun as seeing it all live and seeing all those riffs, which, of course, lyrically is not the appeal of the song. It's the performance. It is the musicality of it.
Church is also such a big part of like Black Twitter too, because it's kind of like a universal experience of like African-American culture that we all kind of, a lot of us, majority of us grew up in these churches, which, you know, knowing the history of religion and Black people in America, Like, and it's kind of like the same. So like people all kind of have these experiences of like church TikTok is very funny too.
Like, it's so, I mean, the memes of like, are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. Like that one. Or like when I start my car and it's the guy going,
oh yeah, that's yeah.
It's kind of endless. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah, so this is just part of the lineage of that. And it's so interesting how like, yes, the music can live on through memification in a way that I haven't seen any other adjacent like in contemporary Christian music, which is to say more white Christian music has had a sort of immortality in social media or memification. I don't even know what that's the true. Closest would be. I don't think anything.
I feel like, yeah, and if it was like a viral on TikTok, it would just be among like ex-evangelical people. Like, I don't think it would just be, the public. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I get the ones on my FYP a lot of like my mom after she slaps me in the car and then we go to church and it's like awesome God and she's like looking at the kid. There's ones like that, but not song specific. It doesn't feel like.
I wish.
I've seen that one too. And that one I had seen on Black Twitter before that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, of course. Copied.
Those are always so good. Yeah, but this song kind of rules. It's not a hard song to talk about.
It's so fantastic. Like, she's so... It's crazy, like, the amount of improvising one, but then you have to do that for every different song. It's like creating 18 different melodies, like, on the spot per song, and then doing that over and over and over again. And the thing that I also think about is I wonder if... I can't decide if it would be really frustrating to be a choir member or like would be really exciting, you know, because you're really just there to keep the rhythm and keep them backed up the whole time. At some point you don't even know what they're going to do anymore. And it's you fun. Haven't been anointed. You are not getting to be up there on the front.
A lot
the show.
Of those people in that choir can sing though. They can sing.
And they all, I'm sure they're all amazing singers. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's, they just fun. Wait for their time.
I was in gospel choir in college for a little while.
Oh yeah.
Why in college rather than like your childhood or anything? Like what made you want
when
to
I got
take
I went
it?
To college back on like the Bible Belt.
Okay.
I went to an African Methodist Episcopal college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, no, I'll do that. I had a bunch of friends in it and you got to leave school and go on choir trips and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll join this.
It was fun.
I auditioned and they let me in.
Was it a lot of contemporary gospel music at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
This type of stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Yeah,
did you ever
fun.
Get to solo, Carl?
I didn't get to solo. They tried to get me to solo one time, but I'm
humble?
The type of person who has I'm better at mimicking people than I am knowing my own voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would mimic people to make people laugh in rehearsal and stuff like that. And they would go, you're going to sing that at the show. And I go, no, I'm not going to sing that at the show. You can't make me do that.
Gracious.
A true comedian.
Yeah.
The solo is Carl telling jokes during the song. Anything else we want to say about this song before we close up shop, give it a rating and ranking? Obviously, very joyous, very easy to listen to, and memeable.
Let's give the Pace sisters their flowers. We lost a couple of them over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
They were not, you know, they should be respected. Some of the best vocalists ever, but you don't hear about them because they do, what is that, secular music?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they got lost in time because of that? They got a little shunted?
I think a lot of gospel artists do.
That's interesting.
Considering they're, like, unless they have, like, a hit, like, you know, like Yolanda Adams of the world, the Marvin Sapps, the Fred Hammonds, Rance Allen, who's the guy who was doing the...
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, that, like, those people, like, make it to a bigger main stage because they... and I think over time, too. Like, but...
Is this music you ever return to? Now, I know you're such a big like music listener. It feels like your taste is pretty wide. Is it ever stuff that you return to now?
Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to Balm and Gilead the other night. That's what made me send that to you first.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just want to hear that. Love Theory is a song that I listen to early in the morning a lot.
Love Theory is good. Yeah. The Kirk Franklin single from a couple years back.
Yeah.
Very well structured.
It's a good song, and I really enjoy that one. And I'll just have gospel moments where I just want to, like, you know, belt out that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff that I grew up listening to, Smokey Norfolk and things like that.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg's gospel album he put out a couple years ago.
I don't revisit that one quite a bit. No. But
the gospel album?
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, it wasn't bad either. It wasn't bad.
It's not bad. He's just only on like three tracks, and he's like, all right.
Wow.
Like, and then it's just other people doing stuff. Oh my gosh. It's a different proposition.
Do you have an opinion on Sunday Service Gospel, the choir?
I like it a lot. I like it. I think I love when they remix non-secular songs into make them like about Jesus.
Oh yeah, I've been listening to that song Rain a lot lately.
Yes.
Over and over and over and over.
I like that one a lot, quite a bit.
It's so good.
Well,
I also like when choirs sing non-gospel music.
Yeah.
But in the style of gospel, like there's the remix to 2 Chainz's Good Drink is the Sunday Service choir singing the hook.
I need to listen to that.
And it's amazing.
There's a album I was listening to the other day on a run. It's called Dylan's Gospel, and it's all like gospel by the Brothers and Sisters. It's a album from 1969, and it's all just gospel arrangements of all of Bob Dylan's best stuff, like Just Like a Woman, All Along the Watchtower, Lay Lady Lay.
Wow.
Lay Lady Lay in a gospel arrangement is so funny because it's such an explicitly sexual song of seduction. And to hear like the contextualization of it in like a spiritual sense is very funny. And it's very good.
Do I know that song?
Lay Lady Lay.
Or here, I'll play a little bit of the gospel version of it. But yeah, it's from his like country album, where he kind of sounds like Kermit the Frog on it, but this is the...
Lay, lay, lay.
Ooh.
Lay across that big grass bed.
Is that fun? Lay, lady, lay.
Ooh, Kevin, can you text that to me?
Yeah.
I'll listen to that later.
Of course. Wait, when? How much
later?
Seen...
maybe early morning.
Okay. What have we ever seen?
Have y'all ever seen the Elvis video where his choir was singing Lighthouse?
No.
Let's see, it's a long one, but there might be a shorter one.
Oh yeah, okay. Let's see.
Lord, if you need
this one?
Me,
yeah.
I can assure you, or just open.
There's a part in it that I wanted you to see.
Oh man, is it?
I gotta try to find it.
At the beginning or end? Or?
Let's see. Oh wait, go back right. A little past that when it starts back to like. Let me see.
Is
fast forward. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. Fast forward some more.
Okay.
Let me just see. But do that scrub across.
Okay. And then
it's not in that video. It's not in that video.
No.
We should have planned it before. But
damn.
there was a part in it that was so cool. One of his other singles. Oh, here it is. Yeah. I'm gonna send it to you right now.
In the chat?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like a 56 second clip. And it's one of his other singers. And I don't know why, like, seeing Elvis, like, vibe out to this in his later life.
Sure.
Like,
man, I can't wait for Austin Butler to recreate this moment in a couple of months on the big screen. Whatever this is.
Sing a song.
And I thank God for the lighthouse.
Look at him. He's just, like, feeling
Look
it.
At him. He is so weird.
And their outfits and hair, too.
Everyone look like they're at a board meeting.
I remember one stormy night.
Get it.
Just in time. I saw the light. If it was for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Yeah, I like that clip.
That's so funny. I hope he flashed back to that moment on the toilet right before he died. And aww, that was the last thing he heard. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's rate this song. The way it works, we'll give it a holy toast, holy roast, or a space between. Holy toast is a thumbs up. We toast it all the way to heaven. Heaven-bound. Holy roast is a thumbs down. We send it all the way. Or if it's not one or the other, we'll send it to purgatory, which is...
the space between.
Caroline, we'll start with you.
I mean, naturally, this is going to be a toast for me. A thrill to listen to. Thank you, LaShun, for everything. You know, rest in glory. Much love to your family. You were a talent. We miss you. Come back.
All right, Carl.
It's a toast for me.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll put some butter on my toast as well. Unanimous holy toast from the Good Christian Fun Podcast.
Yeah, baby.
Which is what you want. Three podcasters saying, yes, this song that's unimpeachably good is good. Isn't that a valuable thing to put out into the world? Okay, now let's bring it down. All right, Carl, we're taking it to a more worshipful space as we close out here. We're not here to promote ourselves or our own projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord, including our social media handles where people can give us a moment of silence and not say anything to us. Just silently follow. And maybe something we're enjoying in the secular culture as well right now. We'll start, as usual, with Caroline.
If you like hearing what I have to say, act like you know it and follow me on Twitter, wherever, at Caroline's Farts. my lift up from the secular culture, I don't know if it's secular though, is I'm going to lift up that song I mentioned earlier, Rain by the Sunday Service Choir.
Okay.
It is transcendent. It is beautiful. Blast it in your car and tell me you didn't cry.
All right. Rain by the Sunday Service Choir from the Jesus is Born album where Kanye stayed home that day.
Stayed the frick home. That's another, you can listen to that song, The Clear Conscience.
Sure. Thanks, Caroline. We'll turn to Carl.
You can always follow me at Dammit Carl, DammitCarl on Instagram. I love my fans. I thank you so much for supporting me. But you know, you don't have to talk to me about it.
You can support him quietly.
You can support me quietly, unless I'm gonna say this. You don't have to DM me about it. You don't have to do that. If you see me in person, chunk the deuce. Say what up. Let's take a picture. Let's make up a handshake.
That's
Let's
nice.
Get it in.
That's nice.
If you're in person, you come at me. Come at me, bro and sis.
Bro
but
and
online,
sis.
Let's keep it. Yeah. And all in between. And then other than that, something from the non-secular world or from the secular world. Yeah, secular meaning
non-Christian.
Regular. Non-Christian.
Not of
always,
the church.
I always get those mixed up. Mm-hmm. Listen to Donny Hathaway's version of the Beatles' Jealous Guy.
Woo! Donny Hathaway has my favorite version of You've Got a Friend, the Carole King song, too.
Yeah.
From his live album. Very good.
Listen to, just explore Donny Hathaway if you haven't.
Yes.
Gone too soon. Great artist, amazing voice, amazing talent. But yeah.
And, I've heard this Jealous Guy. Oh,
I'm
it's
just,
so good.
Just
yes.
Guy.
Oh, I love it. Do you guys do like a seasonal playlist or like a playlist for the year or something?
Can I tell you what I do, actually? And I'm bad about this. This is something I admire about Carl because he's so entrenched in his music and his taste. Whenever I discover a new songs I really want to get into rotation, I'll make a playlist for the specific month. So this month I'll make May 2022, and then I'll revisit all those songs. So I'll segment it throughout the year.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool. I end up like, it ended up falling to my algorithm, like songs that I've played in heavy rotation. I went through a Gap Band phase at the end of last year,
Gap Band, or
the beginning of this year, and just like listening to all of their album cuts.
Let it flow back to you.
Yeah. So they're probably going to be my number one artist on my Spotify wrap up this year.
It's the Gap Band. That's awesome.
Yes.
And then if you like Gossip Girl, you can listen to Carl's Gossip Girl recap podcast, Gossip Kings, with
XOXO
Lamar Woods.
Gossip Kings on the HeadGum Network.
That's right. Yeah. I just did an episode recently. Very fun. A video podcast. I didn't know it was a video podcast until I got there, and glad I was dressed up.
Showed up. Meet out.
That's
we
true.
Had to get him some pants.
My meat was out. They said, can you please put your meat in? This is going to
usually
be...
he at least puts a little jean jacket on it.
Yeah.
Match the
yeah, like a little,
one you normally wear.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. I know. Or NBA, you listen to Flagrant Ones, and then you watch Grand Crew streaming on Hulu right now, in which Carl and Nicole Byer are cast members.
Yes.
Come back for season two. You can lift me up everywhere on Kevin T. Porter on Instagram, Letterboxd, and especially OnlyFans. Staying strong at 118 fans have more retention rate than our Patreon for this podcast. Right now.
Yeah, that's a straight line, baby.
It's oh,
so you making what like $8 a month on that? Okay, or what's
we
going
don't
on?
Need to get into the financial particulars and specifics. That
I think the fans deserve to know.
That doesn't matter so much. I want to lift up a podcast that I discovered through our friend John Gabris's podcast, High and Mighty. Charlie Todd was on there talking about how much cars suck and how cars are bad for society and for cities. There's a lot of interesting parts to the argument, but it did get me kind of interested in city planning and zoning and car culture in general. There's a great podcast you can listen to called The War on Cars. It's a podcast about the fight against car culture, hosted by three very smart people, much smarter than I. They talk about e-bikes. They talk about city council stuff and minutia and the things that affect our lives and pedestrians' lives. You know, the kind of 101 trivia of like jaywalking was actually invented by the Ford company in the 1930s, things like that. And kind of make you rethink maybe your relationship to your automobile, especially if you like walking or taking the metro. Very good podcast to get into.
Nice.
Have they gotten into like Los Angeles history with that?
Yeah, I think so, a little bit.
That was all political. Everything about it was political.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Why we don't have a good public transportation system.
Yeah. Thank you, Beverly Hills. Thank you, so many rich people that just like showed up to the council meetings and were very loud about it and why we are in the mess that we're in now. But you know what? Thank you, Elon, for building an underground tunnel. It's going to work. It's not just going to serve, you know, people who make $1 billion a year. It's going to happen. And thank you to the 17 lane wide 405. It's working and there's no traffic on there anymore. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. Leave us a review. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to the charity. This month's charity is Needs, which is service animals for people, service dogs. Carl, thank you so much, bud, for doing the show.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Thank you, Carl. A treat.
Thank you. Hey, I'll meet you in the middle of America next time, okay?
Meet me in the middle. Why don't you just meet me in the middle of America?
Of this country. And there's nothing of this left country to say.
Shout out to our fans in Europe.
Shout out to our European listeners. Shout out to
our many, many European
our fans
listeners
in Germany, our fans in Africa, our friends in Australia, New Zealand. Nah! And there's nothing left to say except for, okay.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you, Emma. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Wait, what song should we go out? Should we just do Act Like You Now again?
Play her most streamed song, the leak in the door or whatever.
The roof is on fire or whatever it's called. There's a leak in this old building. Okay, here we go. Meaning, and my soul has got to move. I've got another building. A building. Yes, honey. Speaking of city planning. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.